pussy and wet. Well, I said, oh, 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 oh,
hello and welcome to the Basement Shuffle. I'm Kevin. With me as always is Andy.
Hello.
And tonight we're joined by Ben Recky.
Hello, everybody.
Yay. Welcome, Ben.
Thanks.
We're old friends. We go back, what, 10 years?
Maybe a little more, actually.
Yeah.
And Andy, I've known peripherally. Well, Kevin, but we've known each other peripherally, Andy, for
maybe back in the 60s.
Not like 20, though.
Yeah.
Yeah, that long. So, yeah, Kevin, we know each other.
Okay. Yeah, before the show, I was asking Andy if he knew Ben. Because Ben's kind of a new friend to me as far as our circle of friends, but you've been around for a long time.
I've been around. We've had been in the same circles, I think, for quite a while.
Yeah, right on. And we've been getting to know each other as woodworkers as well.
Oh yes, well, you've been teaching me. Thanks for that.
I've been trying, and yeah, we've been hanging out and talking about music. And I'm like, I got to get this guy on the show. He knows a lot of cool shit.
But I didn't know who that was. Open the podcast.
I'm going to take a guess.
Okay, go ahead.
I'm probably wrong, but it sounds like Flipper.
You're absolutely right.
Oh, so it's not the Carpenter. I saw that Carpenter's record down there, I thought.
Oh, no, I'm sorry. It was Flipper.
Okay.
And the first time before we had technical difficulties, I couldn't remember. But then I said, I have this album. I've heard this song. That's who it is, Flipper.
Oh, wow. So not only did you recognize it, but you have the record.
This is how old this is. I have this on cassette tape.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Can I make a confession?
Yeah.
I don't know anything about Flipper.
Okay. That's fine. The reason I know that song is I had it on record. I had it on a compilation called Let Them Eat Jelly Beans, which was an Alternative Tentacles compilation. Alternative Tentacles, of course, is Jello Biafra's
baby.
Yeah, his record label.
Baby.
And he would put out compilations of, you know,
the quick story behind that band, do you know?
Flipper?
Yeah.
Flipper was a San Francisco punk band.
Mm.
I don't know a whole lot about them.
Mid-80s.
I'd say early 80s, because that compilation came out in probably 84-ish, I'd say. Well, maybe earlier.
Yeah, that's the middle.
It didn't sound that old to me for some reason.
It's close to the middle, yeah, but what'd you say, Ben?
It didn't sound that old to me. I wouldn't have guessed it was from the early 80s.
Really? What did it sound like to you?
Weirdly, it sounded like... I say weirdly now in hindsight. I thought it was like from the 90s or something.
Well,
just some band I didn't hear about from the 90s.
They definitely influenced 90s bands, namely a small band called Nirvana. Not a lot of people know them.
Mm-mm.
But you would see like the lead singer of Nirvana, Kurt Cobain, would wear like their t-shirts and stuff like that.
Oh, really?
Yeah. But all I know about them is that they were on that compilation. They were a punk band from San Francisco, and I think they were pretty out there. Like, I think the lead singer was kind of a performance artist kind of fellow, and like they would have some pretty wild shows. I couldn't give you any details because that's kind of the only song I know.
Wild like G.G. Allen wild?
Probably close. I don't know if he actually shat on stage. And threw it at people, but
Dookie.
But, I think they threw it; they just didn't eat it. So they were
they were close, but no cigar,
yeah.
So to speak.
They didn't chew the chunks,
posers.
But
so I got to say, I noticed something in that song really stood out to me, Kevin.
What's that?
Well, there was laughter in it.
Oh, you're right. And tonight's topic happens to be laughing.
Huh?
Yeah.
Imagine that.
Right. And so I thought, you know, out of the songs that we have, I thought that might be a pretty good opener. And I hope you guys agree.
Yeah, it was. It was interesting to think about laughing in music,
mm-hmm.
as I was mentioning before. It's just not a common, like, genuine laughter in song. Like, even that was kind of like a
forced
parody,
yeah.
or like I don't know what they were going for there, just because I don't know the band that well.
Mm-hmm.
But you know, I wasn't listening that closely to the lyrics either, so I don't know if he was mocking something or just cutting loose,
yeah,
as it were.
He was having fun,
but laughter in music, man.
Yeah, it was tough for you.
No, I'm just realizing how little I've heard or thought about it.
Mm-hmm.
So it was interesting to kind of think about it before the show, like, where have I heard laughter in music about, like, as a top anything about
yeah.
it? And it's kind of slim. You do hear a lot. I was saying before too, you do hear a lot of maniacal laughter in the metal genre.
Oh yeah.
Whether, you know,
and you and that's not period. like you were saying, you were trying to think of, like, natural laughter in music,
which the only thing I was saying I could think about is Michael Jackson and The Girl Is Mine. Like that kind
okay.
of giggling.
Sure.
Like, hey, the girl's mine, Mike.
you're looking for, like, spontaneous laughter.
Yeah, well, just when you think of laughing, you
like
think
not
about
scripted.
Right, you think of laughter as being, you know, like what you think of when you think of laughter, right? And
yeah,
that's,
yeah,
that's
yeah.
few and far between.
But that was my point, is that, like you were saying, there's a lot of, like, maniacal laughter in metal, and that's pretty much kind of contrived.
Right.
Like they're trying to sound evil.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Exactly.
Yeah, man. But, so, let us move to another song, and we are going to do... Actually, this is tough because I have to switch between my iPad and my iPhone.
Well, for the love of Pete, do it so we can keep laughing.
I ought to get Apple to, like, sponsor this show. You think I could do that?
Yep.
Awesome.
Wait one sec.
Oh, you know somebody?
Wait for it.
Shh. Done.
Nice. All right, so... I mean, this is inevitable. I have to swap it out and fucking do some shit.
Can you tell us a little bit about what we might be?
Yeah, we're going to... you just mentioned laughter in heavy metal songs.
Mm-hmm.
And you brought this to the table. Let me play this. Awesome. So,
you know, he has a reputation for being a surly fellow.
Yeah.
But going by his music.
Yeah, he seems like a jovial kind of cat.
Way more jovial.
So yeah, that was a compilation of all the instances of Dave Mustaine laughing in Megadeth songs.
And the description says that this person listened to 756 minutes of Megadeth to get those clips.
I would have never even known that I never would have paid attention that there was laughter in any Megadeth song.
Yeah.
That's pretty neat.
That one intro, though, on that album, I definitely remember that. I listened to that album a lot.
That was off of Countdown to...
That was off Rust in Peace, I think.
Okay, that's the album cover with the old man, like, levitating on the front?
No, that's... Rust in Peace is another one. So the mascot was Vic Rattlehead.
Uh-huh.
That skeleton.
Yeah.
And he's in some, like, nuclear bunker about to hit a red button, which was...
Yeah, but the song you're talking about is off of that one?
I think so, yeah.
Off of Countdown to Extinction?
No, I think it's off of...
No, he said Rust...
Rust in Peace.
Rust in Peace. Right. Okay, which...
And they have Peace Sells, but who's buying also.
Right, that was an older one. Yeah. Countdown to an Extinction was after Rust in Peace.
Yeah.
Rust in Peace was kind of like the...
Like 88?
It was like the big... Like what? It was like... it was like their... Power Slave.
Uh-huh. If you were to compare him to Iron Maiden.
Yeah.
I'm going to go back. I'm going to try and go back to
Which would be just wrong.
No, no, right.
I'm going to try and go back to my favorite laugh out of that, which is off of the one that Andy mentioned, Peace Sells, But Who's Buying? And it goes like this. Oh, sorry.
So far, so good?
I'm sorry. Yeah, so far, so good. So what? It's important for me to get the album title correct, but this laugh is cracking me up.
That's like he's doing something fun. Like
yeah.
he rode a skateboard for the first time and shit.
Do you know what song that's from?
Oh, no. That's really old.
That's
off an old EP or something. The So Far So Good, right?
Yeah. That was an EP, not a record?
I think So Far So Good, So What was an EP.
Okay. And I'm kind of juggling here with the technology and trying to host and all that shit. So I can't tell if he's like listing the songs as he goes.
There was also a moment of genuine laughter in there, which I don't know if you guys caught.
And there was a lady laughing too.
Yeah. Well, it was like a... It was the end of a song, and they just, you know, let the tape keep rolling, right. And he was just kind of laughing at it or something. We're terrible.
Yeah. But that's not true.
No, they're not.
Out of the big four, I'm going to go clockwise. Andy, you know what the big four is, right?
I do not, sir.
So Metallica, Anthrax, Megadeth, Slayer. Who's your favorite?
That's the big four?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Of thrash.
Mm-hmm.
Really?
Yep. Mm-hmm.
And this is well documented.
Yeah. It's like a thing. Like, I bet Wikipedia has an entry that says, like, the big four.
All right. What are my choices again?
Metallica, Anthrax, Megadeth, Slayer.
Probably the least popular. But if I wanted to go see one of those bands live, it would be Slayer.
Ben?
Same. They're, that's the way to go.
Yeah. I would definitely go Slayer.
You know, also, I think differently now than if you'd asked me this question when I was a kid.
Like, years ago.
Anthrax to me sounds really thin now. Like, they don't, and I think about seeing them live and their records.
Anthrax would have probably been my second choice, though, just because, especially, like you say, back in the day.
But don't underestimate, like, old Metallica. When they were coming up. When they were real thrash, and Justice even.
Yeah, if you were able to see them in like a San Francisco bar.
I've heard bootlegs of them live. It's even now, it's like you forget. They were like incredible. Like you didn't want to follow them.
Yeah.
They were just
Seek
like
Seek and Destroy is still my number one. And that's off their first album.
The crowds too, like the command they had over, like people would go crazy for them in a way that like they just wouldn't for even like other good bands, like really good bands.
Yeah.
So, you know.
So, wow. Well, okay. Yeah. First of all, let me complete the trifecta by saying that I would also I'm going to go with Slayer as well.
Who we saw not a crazy long time ago.
Yeah.
Like 6 or 7 years ago.
Yeah,
years?
You and I went to see him at
you
the
saw
Fillmore.
Slayer.
The Fillmore. We,
at the Fillmore, yeah.
I remember because I was coming back from a two-year trip. I went off the grid for 2 years. And the week I came back, I got back in touch with old friends, and I was like, let's go see Slayer at the Fillmore.
All right, just like this title, I'm laughing because you're lying.
No, no, it's true. It's true.
It was like, what, 5 years ago?
5 or 6 years ago.
Yeah, it was like right before, it was like right when they announced that they were going to stop touring.
The guitarist had just
Kevin, you
died.
Never told me that.
I'm sure I did and you forgot. Because it was a great fucking show.
Yeah.
It was the first time I've seen somebody in a wheelchair crowd surf.
Yeah.
It was so fucking cool, man.
Yeah.
It was good. I wish it weren't at the Fillmore. The Fillmore has obstructed view. Like, they have pillars and shit, like, kind of by the bar and stuff like that.
Yeah,
and
but there's, the sound is pretty good, man.
Sound is great, but the place was packed, of course, because it was Slayer.
Yeah.
And if you were in the wrong spot, forget you it. Had a bad view.
Yeah.
But goddamn, it made me feel like I was 13 again.
We made it to, did we go to the upper deck on that one at some point or no?
I think we did for a short period, yeah.
Yeah, it was a lot of fun.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, was it right after Jeff Henneman?
Yeah, right after he died, they had a big thing on the you know, some big kind of metaled out graphic tribute to him.
Mm-hmm.
And that's, you know, I mean, besides him not being there, it wasn't. That's not my favorite lineup, though. I mean, and by that, right, I mean the drummer. But
right, that's what I was going to say. Dave Lombardo wasn't with him.
He wasn't there, and I don't think Paul Bostaph was there either.
Hmm.
Who people are always like, kind of like the Sammy Hagar Roth comparison. To me, they're both awesome. And same with Paul Bostaph and Lombardo. They're both awesome. But I don't think it was either of those guys. I know it wasn't Lombardo. I don't think it was Paul Bostaph either. It was like their other dude.
Some young kid
that
couldn't pull off Dave Lombardo's licks.
Right.
Yeah.
Like when the girl from Hole filled in for Tommy Lee and Motley Crue for like 6 months.
Oh my
on
God.
A tour.
Yeah. I didn't even know about that.
Yeah.
I was kind of happy like, not knowing. Now
if I had gone to a Motley, I would have been like, oh. I mean, you know, it's...
Yeah, now I just got to stare at fat fucking Vince Neil. Yeah,
by the way, they are they're terrible live.
When's the last time you saw them?
I saw them once a very, very long time ago, but what I'm talking about is like live, more recent stuff.
Mm-hmm.
Like just like clips I've seen of them. Like they go out on tour and they put out a video and it's like, wow, they sound really bad. Mm. Except Tommy Lee, who's just like... You know, to me, no one like hits the drums as hard as that dude.
So you are a fan
of Tommy Lee, yeah, man.
Because you are a drummer.
He's awesome. I don't even want to say underrated. He's just so good. Like besides his like other celebrity and all the image of Motley Crue, you know, whatever you want to say, he's awesome. Yeah,
cool. Have you ever seen Motley Crue, Andy?
You know,
I bet you did. That's
my
guess.
I'm not sure if I did. Years ago, man, when I used
to go... You're not sure if you did?
I believe that, too.
The opening act, we kind of never paid attention. And I've seen Maiden like 4 times. I know Twisted Sister opened up for him once. Didn't even care for them because I was just, you know, so hung up on hardcore into Maiden. So, watched them, but you know, who's this? You know, it was that kind of thing.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm not sure. I don't know if they've ever played with Iron Maiden. But I doubt it.
But that's where you would have seen them.
Probably, yeah.
I don't think they have.
Yeah, I don't think they have either. So I'm going to say no to that.
Okay.
But if I wanted to, yeah, I'm with Ben. Their first two albums are the only ones I like anyway.
Mm-hmm.
Too Fast for Love, Shout at the Devil. After that, they suck.
Also, sometimes it sounds like I'm slagging things. I say terrible things like that. But I genuinely like a lot of terrible things, quote unquote.
Okay.
So something can be like those albums are fucking horrible, but I really like them. Those first two Motley Crue records.
Yeah.
I mean, just like, they sound terrible. They just do. But,
I mean,
the playing is bad.
They weren't.
The mix
is
terrible.
Yeah, especially
like,
on the first one.
They're not good musicians, except for Tommy.
Yeah. I mean, it's almost punk.
Right.
Instead of
glam.
Yeah,
but it's It's fun. It's you yeah, know, you get that feeling.
Right. So, yeah. Uh-huh. Like I said on the last episode, I'm a Kiss fan. I know it's dumb, but it's fun.
you know who opened for Kiss when they first started out?
Van Halen.
Rush.
Van Halen did also.
On their first tour.
I was going to say that,
Yeah, Van Halen did also. Oh, Gene Simmons was big into...
He found their demo or something? He had pressed their demo or something like that?
He helped them get signed.
Yep. I guess we got to give it up to Gene for something.
I saw him walking once. That's why.
I was walking.
It was the most, like... I was in Brentwood in Los Angeles. Oh. And he was just walking with his whole family. They had that TV show at the time. And they looked like they were all dressed in that way. Like they had just left the set. But they probably just lived that way. Like him in his like all black suits, like with no tie buttoned up. And then his wife all dolled up and their kids. They were all walking in this like foursome. Like, but they weren't being filmed. They were just out taking a stroll.
Did you speak to him?
No. So it's not that great of a story.
Did you give him the finger?
No, I wouldn't give him the finger.
All right.
How did he walk? How was his gait?
It was just very, you know, it was almost like as if cameras were on them. They were just kind of all in step and walking together, like the two of them in front, the kids right behind them. Mm-hmm. If I had seen him, I would have said, I loved you in Runaway.
I don't know what that is.
Runaway is a movie with Tom Selleck where he plays a future cop. And Gene Simmons is the bad guy, and he...
Oh, I know what he's talking about.
He controls these like little electronic spiders that jump on people and explode. Cheap.
Runaway. Tom Selleck. Cynthia Rhodes. Gene Simmons. Runaway. From TriStar Pictures.
Right on.
He did movies for a while.
Yeah. I'm trying to think of, like, the most famous one that he was in. But he always plays like a villain, right?
That's up there. Yeah. I mean, his range is rather limited.
He's just such an odd-looking fellow. Mm-hmm. Like, I think the makeup really helped him out.
Yeah. I mean, he purposely does it with that coif.
He played Morris Day in Purple Rain. That was Gene Simmons.
You know what? Speaking of laughter, that's some other laughter in music. Wah! All that shit that Morris Day does.
Right.
He laughs in the movies. He laughs on the records.
Like that. Like, wah!
He squawk. Wah! Yeah. He's the bird, right? He's like squawking and... I'm doing very bad imitations now, but you know what I mean.
All right. Real quick before we go into an Andy song, we were talking about the Big Four. And it kind of interests me because we were talking about what we would choose now. And then somebody brought up what they would choose as a young man. So, again, Andy, you start. Who would you have chose as a young man?
I would probably say Anthrax.
Well, now, hold on. Okay, Anthrax.
Yeah, that's what I said earlier.
You're right. Oh, okay. I'm sorry. What would you choose?
I would have probably chose Megadeth, to be honest. Okay. Because the thing is, you know, I'm of that camp where Metallica lost me the Black Album afterwards. So, and Justice for All was the first record I ever bought. And so I was all about that. But that's just such a, you know, if that's your intro to Metallica, and then like I got kind of in the older stuff, so I was like, wow, and then this album's so different. Then, and Justice was such a departure to me in a good way. And then the Black Album, I don't want to like crap on it. I mean, it's like its own thing. You know, it's like a very, you know, at this point, a super well-respected album. But it just wasn't how I was introduced to them in a way. You know what I mean?
Right.
Like I wasn't interested in seeing them go that way.
And so what Megadeth album would you have wanted to see as a young man?
Rust in Peace, for sure.
Okay.
That was that same 93, around 92, 93. I was also really, it was super, that album was really like clean and punchy and for a metal album. Like, well, really, then, really, like, kind of overly, what's the word I'm looking for?
Produced.
Produced, right. Yeah. Which, even now, like, people, you know, like, music heads or whatever, they don't like that. But I kind of do like that a lot.
Okay.
Like a lot of slick, well-produced, even like pop. You know, I really like that sometimes. Mm-hmm. But now, you know, it's just...
Kevin, you didn't give us your choice.
Between Dave Mustaine's voice and the guitars, I think I'm a little past that. I would definitely go Slayer these days.
Right on.
Mm-hmm.
Well, I'm not... I'm going to answer honestly, and I'm going to say Metallica.
Mm-hmm.
I mean...
I would hope that you would answer honestly.
Yeah. I mean, I, you know, we all gave different answers, and I didn't want to just, like, do that for, you know, the sake of being different. But I think I would go Metallica, man. Especially when I was a young man. You mentioned that your first introduction to them was Injustice for All.
Yeah, that's the first record I ever bought.
I think the first thing I heard was Master of Puppets.
Mm-hmm. Which, that's my favorite record.
That's a masterpiece.
Yeah.
That's their masterpiece.
Mm-hmm.
And so that would have been probably the tour that I would have liked to see.
Mm-hmm.
Anyway, enough about our metalhead fucking
excursion.
Digressions. Let's do an Andy Dorsey song.
Mm-mm.
And we are going to do this.
Waiting for like old dirty bastard to jump in.
You want to hear the rhythm and roll in the light, fantastic. You best believe the better the cash and better than Vietnam and it's classic. Oh, then I'm here. I'm gonna show your cats how to have no fear. We got the bitches and the niggas there shaking the ass. And believe me, Lord, we're gonna cut the grass. Oh, Lord, baby, just put your hands up, baby. Oh, girl, just take your rub like a dog, just give up love.
Come out, Andy.
This actually, yeah, that's a great song, isn't it?
Ain't a ding in the motherfucking.
I gotta
ding in the motherfucking. Yeah,
I gotta tell you, Andy, I thought this was gonna be punk. Like you hear a name called the Dicks.
There was a punk hardcore band called the Dicks.
That's what I thought.
Right.
I was not expecting this, and you fucking totally blindsided me, and it cracked me up.
Dude. Right on, right on.
I just love that this
laughing.
I just love that this album is called "The Art of Picking Up Women."
Right now, read the song titles on there. What does it say?
Oh, dude, the second one, I had to think very long and hard. The tears in my eyes song or whatever that they do.
Yeah.
Oh my God, you'll laugh your ass off on that one too.
All right, we'll just have Andy.
So Prince Paul, who was a hip hop producer,
right?
Produced De La Soul. I think he did a couple Quest, not too many Quest songs.
Didn't he have a group with
albums.
Somebody?
Tribe Called Quest.
I want to say he was with Stetsasonic, but I'm not entirely sure.
I thought he did a thing like where...
He produced Jungle Brothers also.
I thought he did a thing where like he was like how the Neptunes, like it's the two producers and they do that. I thought he did a collab
Yes, he did solo albums under his own name.
Mm-hmm.
And he's got... He did one with Dan the Automator.
Yeah.
And that's probably his best well-known
one.
Yeah,
that's what I must be thinking about.
This group right here is like way underground because like no one has heard of them. And it's because it's like, is that hip hop? Is it country? It's just, you know, the Dicks.
It's not country.
It's not country.
But, you know, yeah, brothers were not digging this.
Uh-huh.
Sorry.
But I saw the album one day and I was just like, Prince Paul? Yeah, I got to buy this.
Really? You just saw the name and you were like,
yeah, dude.
And the album cover? Yeah.
Because Prince Paul does... especially his solo stuff. It's quirky, it's crazy, it's zany, it's you know.
Okay.
You know, very much like this.
And
he's got an album called Handsome Boy Modeling School, which is really
good. Right,
awesome.
Right. That's a really
yeah.
With Dan the Automator.
Yeah.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. I just wanted to look at because you're talking about how you picked it up because you saw Prince Paul on the record, but the record cover itself is like a
50s.
Yeah,
what's
60s,
the story behind that?
It's like a 60s.
They were going for that retro look to right. make people, you know, think that they were like the Temptations or something weird like that.
Like,
or,
is that actually them dressed up, or is that just
that's
like
them?
A ran- okay,
that's the Dicks.
Mm-hmm.
Now who? Did I just miss who's in this besides Prince Paul?
Prince Paul is not has nothing to do with their singing or vocals. Or he just does the production.
And he's not pictured on the cover?
No.
Now, who is pictured on the cover?
Really? You're going to ask me that?
Do you know? No.
Kevin throws me under the bus like this.
Oh, I'm sorry. I'm interested to know.
I did not do research on this
band. No, but
it's
less about the band itself than it's like a Prince Paul thing.
Yeah. Well, there's...
it's like when Quincy Jones puts out like a record.
Correct.
And it's just got like, you know, all these...
If his name is on it, buy it.
Mm-hmm.
It's a fantastic...
I'm not buying this for Tevin Campbell.
I haven't heard that name since 2001.
It's been a minute.
But if I can try and describe this album cover to people over the airwaves, and
you know what?
It's like
you know what?
It's
just
like
Google
early,
it.
Yeah, Google it. It's an early '60s throwback kind of cover,
black and
with
white,
with like a yeah, black and white with.
And the one dude has long hair.
Yeah, it's got,
yeah, yeah. All of them have wigs on. It's that, like Beatle hair.
It's that. It's like a bridge, like from the '50s, like to the '60s. Yeah, like yeah. There's kind of. There's some pompadour action there.
And there's a guy in the front that's like bending down, like singing to this girl up front, and he looks like CeeLo Green with like a, like whose hair is that?
Oh, no, man.
It's a fantastic. I would have bought this shit too. It looks fucking hilarious. And it is. You fucking won the podcast again. I think we can stop it right now. Good night, everybody. The Dicks is amazing, and I need to fucking.
There's no way to describe this album cover, to be honest.
All right, yeah, just look it up.
There's a lot going on.
Just look it up. And
there's one dude. There's a lot of different things going on. Mm. There's one dude who looks like Marvin Gaye.
Yeah.
With the hat on. Then there's like a Jesse Johnson looking dude.
Ron Carter's in there.
Yep. And then, like, screaming cross between CeeLo Green and Madea. It looks like Tyler
And then
Perry,
there's the heavyset dude. Yeah. Now, is he the one with the blonde wig on?
Yeah, that's what I'm talking about.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
He's got, like, a John Tesh wig on or some shit.
And he's got the John checkered Tesh. Suit. I mean, just, yeah.
All right, let me play this real quick. we got to the part I was trying to get to. That sounds like a natural laugh in a song. Right? Wow.
Like a chuckle, like a...
Yeah, it sounds like something, like somebody, like, walked through, like, the recording session, like, with a dog, and the dog, like, shit on the floor, and he was like, oh, my God, what's happening?
We're recording here, Pepe.
Sounds like a genuine laugh, right?
Yeah.
Go poop and you were outside.
Mentioning, yeah, you were mentioning that that's hard to find.
Really, really hard to find.
There's a Lambert Hendricks and Ross song that does that, too.
Oh. We might need to delve into that.
And you know what? It's really rare when it's like a part of the song, not like, you know, they finish the song and they're laughing at the end of the track and then, you know, or like a skit part of the song or something, you know?
Yeah.
So that's, I can't think of any time I've ever heard.
Like a spontaneous laugh.
Just a spontaneous laugh in the middle of the song and it keeps going. Mm-hmm.
There's a couple.
It's actually on the Halloween Spook song.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah.
Oh, shit. We're going to have to check that out.
Yeah, we'll check that out.
Because that's one of my favorites as far as vocalese goes. But why I wanted to play that, it was not on my list. I just added it during the show, is because that was the Velvet Underground with Beginning to See the Light. The lead singer of the Velvet Underground was Lou Reed, and... I believe you've met Lou Reed.
I didn't really meet him. I bumped into him in a bathroom.
Okay.
And, like, literally, like, I bumped him on accident.
Let's hear the story.
There was a benefit at Carnegie Hall, and someone I knew was playing there, so I had this kind of free in.
Okay, hold up. Who was playing?
Michelle and DeGocella was playing.
Ooh,
that's your friend?
Nice.
I wouldn't say friend, but... you know, in fact, I saw her a few days ago, but I see her like once every 5 years.
She is a DC resident, isn't she?
She came down for something that we were both at.
I want to say she was the very first recording artist that recorded on Maverick Records.
She was Madonna's label.
Bam! Okay, Ben, go ahead.
Yeah. Her band is from around here, and a couple of them are like really close friends, though. So that's how I'm still in the loop a little bit.
Am I wrong by saying she's a D.C. resident?
No, she's born and bred D.C., but she lives in upstate New York.
Okay.
Yeah, but I mean, she's like D.C. for sure.
And she played a stint with John Mellencamp too, didn't she?
Well, she had that single Wild Nights, which is a Van Morrison song, right?
Yeah, but yeah.
And they covered it, and that's how everyone knows her, because that was like the most
she
famous
was like
thing she did.
In the video?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. So, So this benefit, I think it was an AIDS benefit or something like that. It was a really cool, like, you'd have this, you know, like Dead Prez was there. It was just like this cool setting for like all these different kind of folks to get together that wouldn't normally like be on some festival together or something. And
at Carnegie Hall.
Yeah.
Wow. That's impressive.
So that building is really old and the bathrooms are tiny. And I went to the, like,
I mean,
know if
they
it was
used to just have jazz shows. That's how long ago this, Carnegie Hall, man.
So I went to a bathroom. There was one stall, one urinal. It was occupied by Lou Reed. And he was like, he looked exactly as, like, he had that, like, a puffy leather jacket and shit. Like, that shit he always wears. And he was just standing there peeing. And I never, like, make a big deal about, like, you know, just out of respect. Like, especially in a bathroom. Like, I'm like, hey, Lou Reed. So there was a stall right next. The stall was right next to the urinal. That's all that was in this little bathroom. It was like a closet. They just built shit smaller back then.
Yeah.
And I opened the door too hard, and the door, like, slammed into Lou Reed, and he was actually peeing.
Yeah. And you said, hey, baby.
And, like, I heard the pee.
Take a walk on the wild
I heard,
side.
Like, he was peeing, and you could hear the pee.
Yeah.
And the door hit him, and the pee stopped. So it's like, I clearly like
you.
I don't know if I made him pee on himself, but I clearly interrupted the trajectory of the urine. Like, best case scenario, he like stopped, and didn't drip anywhere, and then started peeing again.
What's the worst case?
Did he turn around?
Worst case scenario is like the pee went silent because he peed on his leg, and then he pointed back into the urinal because the pee started again.
Did he turn around and look at you?
Nah, he was too cool for that. I was, hey, oh, sorry. And then he left before I was done my peeing in the stall. Uh-huh. And I kind of made sure to keep the door closed and, like,
why? Know. Because you didn't want to face Lou Reed?
Yeah, the wrath of Lou.
Yeah.
No, no, it was just a little bit, like, it was an accident, but it's not that cool to make somebody do that to themselves.
Yeah, if worst case scenario happened, yeah, you don't want to make somebody piss on their hands.
It's just, like, annoying. Like, even if it's, like, if I was in his position and someone accidentally hit me, like, I wouldn't, I would be annoyed.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, even if it wasn't on purpose, but it's like, oh, well.
Right.
That sucks.
Take a piss on the urinal side. Maybe he had really strong kegels and was
this
like,
gets into
like he just stopped. He was like, oh,
yep.
Anyway,
maybe Lou Reed had preemptively done vag exercises.
All right,
on
this
the
is
off chance that one day a kid would, you know, it's a long time. I mean, I was like 21 probably or something like that.
Oh,
damn.
Wow.
Yeah,
wow, okay.
It was a long time ago. I mean, he died like 10 years ago or something, right?
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
So
this was in like the 90s? Early 90s?
Early 2000s, probably.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. That's a great fucking story.
So that's what happened.
And it's also a great time to take a break.
On the wild side.
Heisman Sports Bar, where champions come to drink. We offer the cleanest bathrooms in Ripley. No fake ID needed if you run your own door. Bar stools reserved for anyone who hates original music. The county's largest pole placed directly in front of the stage, perfect for dancing. Heisman Sports Bar. Come for the drafts. Leave with the drips. Come on down to Heisman Sports Bar, your bar for smoldering entertainment, inconveniently located off of Route 225.
And we're back. And we're going to do another...
wild thing.
Yeah. Y'all ready for this? No, no. What is it? Let's do this. Yeah. Off the wall.
Live it off the wall. Another Quincy Jones.
Who was that? it was Michael Jackson.
Oh, yeah. Is that who it was?
Yeah.
Later Michael Jackson.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. This is like right before
still
he died.
Still black mm-hmm. Michael Jackson?
Mm-hmm. Right, yeah, right before he started turning white.
Big
right?
nose.
Yeah, he still had a big nose.
Big nose having. Oh, Lord.
Luther Vandross was still fat.
Really?
Those were the good old days.
Oh, yeah, dude. It's like 1981 when that album came out.
Did you ever hear, I think it was Cedric the Entertainer?
Luther was a fat boy still.
He was like, I don't trust skinny Luther. And he had a whole bit about that.
Who was that?
Cedric the Entertainer.
Yeah, I knew I'd heard that before.
And then he did him singing the alphabet in like is
A B C.
What was that from?
I think it's Cedric, the Entertainer. He's like, nah.
Just like his stand-up?
Yeah, his stand-up. He's like, I don't trust no skinny Luther. Lost all that weight.
So, yeah, there was laughter at the beginning of that track.
Absolutely.
Michael Jackson. He was giggling.
It was more of a maniacal laugh.
Yeah, that was a strange, actually.
It was kind of frightening.
I think it was both.
Mm-hmm. Strange and frightening at the same time. But goddamn, is that a jam.
Yeah.
Something that I noticed listening to it on headphones, which I probably haven't done since I was like 8 years old, is that's a very bright sounding record. Like, I was listening to the bass line, and the bass line is very EQ'd very high and very almost, I don't want to say it has like a chorus on it, but it just sounds fucking odd.
That's Quincy.
Yeah. That's what I was going to say, is that Quincy just had, he had quite an ear.
Midas touch.
Yeah.
The Midas ear.
He was doing shit that you wouldn't think would work, but he just made it fucking work. He was a master.
He just understands what every part of the process is. Like every single, I mean, he was an arranger.
And more importantly, he understands the artist also, because I could see him using that exact same bass line differently, like if he were recording Isley Brothers.
Okay.
You know, I think Michael Jackson took a chance with him on that record. Do you know about that? Like,
explain.
Quincy Jones was known as like a jazz dude, like a big band dude, an arranger, mm-hmm. all that. And I think he kind of lobbied Michael Jackson in a way or something like that. Like, I like almost like, I know I'm not like
a pop,
you know, a
guy.
Pop dude, you know, whatever, but.
No, that's way wrong.
No, I think that's what happened.
Quincy Jones had worked with Michael Jackson when they did The Wiz, which was 5 years prior to this.
No, it wasn't. He was like,
The Wiz came out in 1976.
When did that come out?
78.
That's 1981.
No, 78.
It's not.
Is it 78? Okay.
Yeah.
Well, at any rate, this Off the Wall was after The Wiz.
Yeah, so he worked with him like on there, like, but as a on a movie.
Right. But so Quincy Jones had produced Roberta Flack, I mean, just countless others in R&B way before he did.
So I don't know about those timelines, but I know that Michael supposedly, it was like a gamble for him in his mind. He was like, man, let me, you know, that wasn't like lined up or the first choice or anything like that. And that's definitely what made Quincy like a super, or like a superstar. Like, people knew his name. Like, people didn't know the producer really before that, you know?
Yeah.
Like, he was like synonymous after that record. That's my understanding. Like, maybe you no more facts and all that kind of thing, and like he had produced, I mean, I know he had done some other stuff, like some R&B and that, but not nothing like that. Like, and also that, like, thing about how much of a superstar Michael Jackson was before that record came out, like that record had to be, you know, really something. Well, and he took a chance.
It was his most successful to date. Mm-hmm. You know, as far as Quincy goes,
I guess the point I'm trying to make is Michael Jackson could have picked anyone, and Quincy, not like he didn't have the track record, but he didn't have that
pop cachet.
Exactly. Like, he just didn't have that behind him. It was like other stuff.
Mm-hmm.
And so it was like, nah, like he could see that it would be incredible with him.
Yeah.
And there was no record that sounded like that before.
Absolutely
that.
Absolutely not.
So
yeah,
it's like,
it was just a match mm-hmm. made in heaven. It was just, those were the two, the force that Michael Jackson had, the talent that he had, mixed with, I think they were just both like headed in the same direction, and they just kind of like met like at a point,
mm-hmm.
at the right point, and they just blew up. Because, I mean, I'm going to agree with Andy that Quincy Jones was probably trying to innovate from the start. I mean, when would you say his career began? 50s? 40s? 50s?
Man, like the...
If it was 50s, it was probably late 50s.
Yeah.
Dude, he's really old.
But yeah,
might even been before that.
Yeah.
Because I mean, he was Sinatra's arranger for a bit. Like,
but
in
he was also so if you want to count him just being a musician, I think he was a trumpet player. So
piano. Yeah.
So what's it called? But just as a working musician, like even before all that, right? So sure. He started. Really? Do you still? He's like 95 or something like that.
Yeah, probably. But I'm just saying that he was always looking forward. And I would say in the 70s, he was probably, I mean, I've seen like his own solo albums from the 70s.
Right.
And that's probably where he was.
He's
like,
got that Ico Carina song or whatever it is.
Oh, I don't know. I'll have to check that out.
Yeah.
But
that was a really big hit.
What
him.
I'm trying to say is, he had it.
Brothers Johnson also.
Exactly. So he was cutting his teeth in the 70s. With these new sounds and shit like that. And, he just met the right artist. And it just blew up. But, yeah, nothing else sounds like that.
Hmm. Or did the artist meet the right producer?
Eh.
I had to Wikipedia
now,
some stuff to
get up
the page.
I know you're not a big fan of the Brothers Johnson.
I'm a big
how
fan.
How dare you? What?
I have gotten that from you. I have.
What did I say?
You were like, hey, you know the Brothers Johnson, Andy? Fuck them.
Oh, I forgot I said that.
Just to be quite clear, Andy,
right?
For now and for the future, that I hate them.
Like the one you said, the light looks like a penis or whatever.
And Quincy,
yeah, well, their album covers were ridiculous.
And Quincy Jones did play trumpet. I knew I was right about that. He's a trumpeter. He played piano, too. He plays piano, mainly, though.
Well, he's
talented.
Not like Prince, but he plays a lot of instruments.
I believe he was a professional trumpet player in some capacity, is all I can say.
Right on.
Mm-hmm.
I'd like to hear it.
And so we know that for a fact, and we know that Kevin Jones, for the record, hates
the Brothers Johnson
phallic album cover.
Well, they had ridiculous fucking album covers.
Light Up the Light.
Yeah, Light Up the Night. Yeah.
I don't remember. I literally don't remember the album covers. I remember the most famous one is just them in the throes of playing.
You're right.
Right?
You're right. They have one ridiculous one where they're holding flashlights like they're the dicks.
Mm-hmm. Oh, okay.
Anyway,
they should tone it down like a Cameo album cover.
Give me an example. I don't know.
Cameo, you know, the famous huge red cod piece.
Oh, yes, yeah. They did have cod pieces.
Making a joke.
Yeah, Kiss and fucking Cameo had cod pieces.
Kiss is Cameo without a high top fade. And Jewish.
Yeah, that's the only thing that's missing.
Jewish high top fade. The only differences. Besides that, exactly the same.
Mm-hmm. Anyway. Yeah, those guys are geniuses, and they laugh in songs.
Word up!
So, we're going to do an Andy song, and here we go.
Yeah.
So, the theme was laughing. Mm-hmm.
The Laughing Hyenas just make sense.
Hey! A song that was not funny or didn't have laughter in it, but Laughing Hyenas was the name of the band, so I decided to do that one.
What's the story with the Laughing Hyenas?
That band, I saw them live. They opened up for the Jesus Lizard.
Mm-hmm.
And because they were record mates, I guess you would call that?
Label,
they were
label mates.
Oh, okay.
The term is label mates.
Yes, sir. I'm sorry, sir.
Label.
Label. Like Libby on the label.
Mm-hmm.
Like labia on the label?
Labia mates.
Touch and Go Records. And so I saw them at 9:30.
Uh-huh.
Loved the band.
The old 9:30.
No, I saw them at the new 9:30.
What? Okay. That place has been around a long time then.
Yeah. I'm trying to think. I don't know the exact year when the new 9:30 opened up, but I thought it was around 90.
I saw Gwar at the old 9:30, and they should have been on the show just because they made me laugh really hard.
Mm.
Gwar anyway. Has the best
Cod
version
pieces.
Of it's a Kansas song.
Yeah, I've seen them do that live in studio.
Not to get thrown off track here, but yes.
Carry on, my wayward son.
Yeah.
Booyah.
Mm. That was on the AV Club.
It was a KFC radio thing or whatever that they were doing?
No, I think it was called the AV Club, which was an offshoot of a website
KFC.
Called
Now, were they dressed in like normal street clothes?
Were they
dressed in normal street clothes, just in studio?
No, they were in full gear.
What?
Yeah.
Shocking.
Mm-hmm.
All right. So does anybody know who Larissa Strickman is?
Mm-mm.
Is she, hold on, is she...
is she the woman in Gwar?
Hyman, what's her name?
Hyman Slimenstra.
Yeah. Is it?
Is she the Gwar woman?
I have no idea who that is.
All right, well then who are you talking about?
She is the guitar player from the band that we just heard.
Laughing Hyenas.
Laughing Hyenas.
Wow.
Now, she's the only one that I knew of, and there was a rumor that she was at one time in the band L7.
Okay.
Oddly enough, if you Google L7, though, it has no mention of her. But if you Google her name, Larissa Strickman, it says that she was in L7 at some time. So
it's
I don't
so
know
weird
which
when
is
someone
true.
When you see like played with and this and that, it can literally be like played with Miles Davis. Like Miles Davis was in a club, and then like a jazz band was playing, and then you know he walked on stage and played a few notes, and then
like,
people will list in their bio like played with such luminaries as Miles Davis.
Like Michel Legrand could say, I was in Miles Davis's band.
Well, they actually did a lot together.
All right, so who's this lady that you guys were mentioning that you know about that I
Hyman Slimenstra.
Hyman Slimenstra. She is the like the slave woman in Gwar. Like on stage, she's got the dog collar on and the white face paint, and
okay.
She, you know.
That's totally cool that y'all would know her name.
Throws blood on the crowd.
And how do you know her name, Kevin?
Because
their names are so memorable.
Yeah, they're just.
Where'd you hear it?
I was a fan of Gwar.
Yeah.
Unfortunately, I've never seen them live.
I want a story, man.
I don't have a good story.
You've never seen them, though. You said
never seen them live. Wish I did.
It's really fun.
Oh, I have a good really Gwar fun. Story,
but I never wanted to get my clothes
about seeing
dirty.
Them live.
Yeah.
So April, our friend April that lives in Baltimore,
Gomez.
Oh, I know April.
April Gomez. I want to say this might have been her birthday party, but anyway, it was her idea to go see Gwar. They were playing at the new 9:30. And Nick went and, you know, a whole bunch of people from Charles County, you know, this was back in the day. And so I was going to go. So I'm driving up there and I get up there and they're all in there. They, you know, the show sold out. So I was like, well, I guess I can't see it. I'm going to go get me a burger and some tater tots.
From where?
There was a place that was a couple of blocks away, and I remember they had tater tots instead of french fries.
Okay. That's why I asked, because that's not that common.
Right. So I get the food, and I'm like, well, I guess I'll just drive home. I'm not even going to have a beer or do anything. I'm just going to go home because I was bummed out because I didn't get to see Gwar.
Why did just you not get in and everyone else did?
Because they got there early and they bought tickets before it sold out, and my dumbass was late.
Got you. So you're on your way home.
on my way home, and I'm enjoying my tater tots, and I'm eating my burger, and I look down because I dropped a tater tot. And I go down to reach down and pick it up, and boom, into this big truck.
Oh, shit.
I slammed and totaled my car.
Oh, that's
right. Because Guar was sold out, I totaled my car.
Man, that's a... I thought there was going to be a Guar ending.
No. Yeah, there was an Andy ending.
Well, damn. So you've never seen them then?
Never got to see the band and wrecked my car that night.
Well,
the airbag deployed.
Oh, wow.
And I remember this. I had something small, but it was a piece of metal that was sitting up on my dashboard. And when the airbag went off, it shot this thing and lodged it into my finger. So now my finger's bleeding also.
And you're a bass player.
Yes. And it was on my fret hand. Mm. So anyway, I'm picking this thing out. And I don't know if you've ever been in an accident with when the airbag deploys.
Mm-mm.
But it's that's not air. It's some type of substance. And it's like all chalky and it's just, you know, so I'm like coming out of it. I was like, oh, shit. I just wrecked my car. Man. Oh, no. Man. I was just freaking out, dude. It was bad.
Man. Oh, thank you.
Thanks, sir.
So,
Kevin, you missed the story.
Yeah. He didn't see Guar and he crashed his car. That's how that ended.
Totaled.
And it rhymes.
So it wasn't really a Guar story.
I can't wait to edit this podcast and listen to that story.
Right.
This is the first time that I've taken a pee break during a story.
Right. But normally he does take it during my song, so this time he took it during my story.
I'm waiting for the perfect moment to do my pee break.
Right. So it's all good. Kevin has
Do you need to take one? Because this would be a good time to take a break.
All right.
Hey, this is your old buddy Kev breaking in here with a commercial announcement. I've designed a couple of t-shirts for the podcast. You can get to those by going to kdj432.threadless.com. That's KDJ, Kevin David Jones, 432.threadless.com. I'm working on making that a little easier to get to instead of you having to type that into your web browser. I'm working on a website. I'm pretty much waiting on getting a decent photo of me and Andy. I just keep forgetting. And making that thing look a little better than I have it looking now. And I'll probably post a link to t-shirts and whatever else we have for sale. And, yeah, if you feel so inclined to support the podcast, go there, buy a shirt. There's other stuff for sale, like stickers and tote bags and other useful stuff. And, yeah, thanks for listening. And I'll let you get back to it. And we're back, and I think I'm up, and we're going to do this.
Running away to get away, ha 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 ha, you're wearing out your shoes.
Good one, Kev.
Look at you fooling you. You're stretching out your dude. Look at you fooling you.
Trying to catch you while you were doing your thing.
Oh.
My bad.
Yeah. Running Away by Sly and the Family Stone.
Good choice, Kevin.
Yeah.
Thank you so much. Have you guys heard that one before?
Negative.
I have.
Yeah, it's off.
I knew who it was, though.
Yeah, absolutely. There's no mistaking that that's Sly.
There is a rare occasion ever that I come over to Kevin's house and we do not play at least one Sly and the Family Stone song.
Oh, really?
It's weird. He's just one of our favorite artists.
I think so.
Yeah.
Plus, they've done a little bit of everything then, it sounds like.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm.
Did you play them during the Satan episode?
Well, no. He's just
not
saying...
Not necessarily...
I don't think we've ever played one on the show. We're just talking about in general, like if he comes over...
Is that our first Lysol?
I'm going to have to go back and check, but...
It might be.
Yeah.
That band didn't last that long, did it? That incarnation?
They were off and on, and there were members coming and going all the time. So, yes and no.
I'm going to say that this album is probably like the breaking point for this band. This is like the...
What year did that one come out?
70? 71? This is when he was very much into cocaine and very paranoid and firing everybody in the band. Like, Lou Gramm is not on this. Not Lou Gramm. Lou Gramm is from fucking...
Larry Graham from...
From Grand Central Station.
And 90s Prince.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
I didn't know that.
Prince idolized him.
Was he in the...
As well he should.
Was he in the...
He wasn't really... He would, like kind of get up on stage.
He was a guest.
Yeah, he was a guest.
He was never on an album.
He might have played on a track, but he was never, like, in, like, the band. Right.
He was not in the Revolution.
No, he was not. He was not. Ladies and gentlemen, the Revolution and also Larry Graham.
But this album is weird sounding. It's very... Yeah, like I said, he...
Most of them are, though.
Yeah, but this one was, like I said, he was very paranoid, fired most of the group. A lot of the tracks are done with, like, a primitive, like, drum machine.
Now, I thought Larry Graham left in, like, 73.
I want to say
Grand Central Station. I want to say their first album was 74. Okay. I could be wrong.
Mm-hmm.
We'll have to fact check it.
You know, there's like, do you know about Sly Stone, like, since then?
Since when?
Since what you're talking about, like early 70s, paranoid, coke.
Yeah.
He's probably schizophrenic, too, is another thing. But there's like these Sly sightings. Do you know about this? Like he hasn't
like
done...
Like recently?
Kind of like every few years, it's like, hey, man, maybe he's going to do something. I've heard these stories about him, like, mm-hmm. you know, and it's always like the stuff you would expect, like, hey, he was supposed to come to the studio and like these music, and he didn't show up, or like he came and just like talked the whole time. You know, it's just like, but this is more like
I'm Rick not, James,
not, not,
bitch.
Yeah, not like fact. Like I'm talking out of my butt a little bit, but I mean, I think it's pretty clear he has like serious mental problems.
Yeah, he's and, like as far as I remember, like the last couple of things I've read about him is like he's living out of a van.
Yeah, like I think it comes off like, you know. Like some crackhead type stuff, and maybe drugs has a lot to do with it. But on top of that, there's like probably serious
mental issues. Yeah. Because, I mean, do you remember what was it, the Grammys that he was supposed to show up at? And he did. And he showed up with like a huge, like, platinum mohawk with like a silver suit on. And like a bunch of people, like, did his songs,
awesome.
And they were expecting him to play, but he just kind of walked through the crowd and, like, waved and, like, never played.
That's just as entertaining.
Yeah.
Like, did you want to have him to get up there and, like, do something badly? Like, I'd way rather have him,
just
like,
be a
walk
spectacle.
Through. Yeah, yeah, with a fucking platinum mohawk.
I'm going to pee on this stage right now.
That would have been fucking awesome. That would have been better than Soy Boy or Soy Bomb.
Thank you.
Oh my
god. Me pee myself.
What about Prince?
Which
on,
is on this record?
Did you ever see the clip of Prince on American Bandstand? like late 70s?
I did.
He wouldn't talk. Okay. So Dick, what's his name? Dick Clark would ask him something. He'd be like, how long have you been playing? He'd be like, and he'd hold up like two fingers and he'd make his like eyes all like, like big and shit.
Yeah.
I mean, you know, but yeah, man, a lot of weirdness. You're not ready to hear my voice yet, Dick Clark.
But
dude, that's a good Prince.
Yeah.
Is it?
Pancakes.
Are you sure?
Right.
That's pretty good.
But I really love this album. I don't know why. There's like three good songs on it, but it's
what
just,
album is it?
It's there's a riot going on.
Oh.
Yeah. And and I think the only constant members in this group are him and his sister who plays trumpet. And what a trumpet player she was. I mean, you can hear it on that song. Yeah. Just great tone.
Now, VH1 did a behind the scenes.
You mean a trumpet player like Quincy Jones, Andy? someone who only plays trumpet and no other instrument, yeah, like right. Quincy Jones, Andy? Yeah, I'm looking at you.
Yes, sir.
Yeah.
Okay.
That's right.
I don't know where we're going. What were you going to say, Andy?
I don't know. I'm sorry if I've offended someone.
What were you going to say?
Oh, my God. I forgot. I totally
right.
Sorry. No, totally go ahead. I was just joking.
We were talking about him and his sister. She was a great trumpet player. Great tone.
Yeah.
You really forgot. I threw you for a loop. I'm sorry.
Fuck it. Let's
do
it. I
don't know what I was saying, man.
Let's do another. Let's do another Ben song.
Is it a song?
Not really. It's more of a
compilation.
Has laughter in it. Yeah, it is more of a compilation.
Is it more performance art?
Yeah, kind of like the lead singer of Flipper.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, absolutely. And here it comes. That's better than the Megadeth one.
Yeah. So, who was that?
That's King Diamond.
Wow. Only pay for what you need with Liberty Mutual.
Oh, shit. That's a commercial.
I just said that.
Oh, dude, you got to keep that on there.
What? King Diamond, he was in a band too, right?
Merciful Fate.
Right. Mm-hmm. I remember people talking about his, like, yeah, you know, he's got this range, but he always, to me, just did that. Like, he just screamed. Yes. Real high?
Right.
Like, does that mean you have a great voice and range? I don't know.
Right, because you never heard him, like, do, like, a Barry White, like, impression.
Exactly.
Anything.
Exactly. Yeah.
Now, did he wear face makeup, too?
Yes.
Am I thinking of someone
he
else?
He absolutely did.
Okay, yeah. Mm-hmm. I got it. Nice.
He was somehow...
With a mustache.
He was somehow not scary at all to me.
Right. I think it was the mustache. It's like, what the fuck are you doing? You're going to paint your face and have facial hair?
It's like, I know you're from Denmark, man.
You and fucking Lars Ulrich.
Yep. So basically.
Yeah, that was hilarious. Mm-hmm. I'm going to...
Was that the whole thing, by the way? Or was it like a...
No, that was it. I didn't cut it off. Okay. That was the whole deal.
For some reason, I thought it was... Yeah, he laughed a lot more than I remembered. But I guess if you edit...
It looked like it was like his
He's a
whole...
laugher.
It looked like it was his whole discography.
Yeah, I also liked how they they put the visual, like the graphic of the album that the laughter was on while it was playing.
Right.
Like, this is from Abigail.
And I didn't realize, and looking at that, I didn't realize he had a Christmas album.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. Well, everyone does. I mean, like, everyone.
So I wanna go back and play my favorite, just like I did with Dave Mustaine. Where is it? I think it was the one before the Christmas.
Is that the one
album.
Where he's like, hoo, 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 hoo?
Yeah, there's the crazy one. That's the one. This is fucking nuts, man. That's awesome. So I wonder if that's the same guy that's making the compilation that did the Dave Mustaine. So
I bet it's not.
The guy, this guy is called Keeper of the Flame. Let's look at
Keeper
Dave Mustaine.
Of the Flame.
Children of the Grave. So the Dave Mustaine one, yeah, no, it's not the same guy. This guy's called Blood Doom. Blood underscore Doom. But anyway, it's a great concept, and I would love to find some more stuff like that. Like, who would be another heavy metal artist?
You mentioned before Ozzy. I just remember Ozzy.
Yeah. Okay, yeah. Heavy metal has a lot of laughter.
But it's funny because it's always that evil thing that, like...
It's evil laughter. Yeah.
You know, like campy horror, basically.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Campy horror. Mm-hmm. I'm going to say the quintessential campy horror laughter is Michael Jackson, Thriller.
Mm-hmm.
Thriller.
Vincent Price. Thriller.
The King of Darkness.
Mm-hmm.
Absolutely.
Mm-hmm. With that mustache, man.
Oh, so sexy.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, he had a movie that he painted his face with corpse paint, just like, similar to King Diamond.
Really?
Yeah, I'm going to have to.
One of those, like,
many.
Real.
Thousands of movies that he did in the 70s.
With a $25,000 budget.
That much? Anyway, he's...
They were great back in the day, though.
Mm. Oh, yeah. He's fucking awesome. So, yeah. We need to do an undie. Okay, this song is why the people hate monkeys. Or the monkeys.
You didn't like that one?
Also, were they...
I'll
like
take it
a,
as a no.
Were they like a Partridge Family type band? Like they were like created for...
Sure.
This and a show? Like it was a show or no?
You don't know. Are you fucking...
They were
right
before
no,
the
I'm
Partridge
actually genuinely
family.
Asking. Like I'm not putting on a...
You never watched the Monkees?
No. Nah.
Come on, man.
They were before the Partridge
Family. I didn't see a lot of stuff. I've never seen a Gilligan's Island. I was someone sees this.
Wait, you're like the opposite of me. Like, I never had cable. and it sounds like you never had regular.
It's funny because I wasn't really allowed, like TV was restricted when I was a kid. I couldn't just like turn on TV and watch whatever I wanted.
It was like a privilege?
Yeah.
Okay.
But that's like, but on the other hand, I've seen like every Three's Company. So it's just weird, including the ones where Jack's balls are hanging out. Do you know about that?
I can imagine.
There was an episode where something got through the censors.
Yeah.
Where he's like laying in his little 70 shorts and his sack is just hanging out.
Okay.
And, you know, they you can't see that episode anymore, but I think you can look it up on YouTube and see John Ritter's testes.
I would very much like to see that. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, right after this episode.
Because he was a great guy.
You know where I'll be.
Yep. Face deep in some John Ritter's testes.
Jack Tripper
that's
ball.
That's Jack Tripper, yeah. Yep.
By the way.
Where was Larry?
I know, right? Do you remember the name of his restaurant when he opened one?
Jack's Bistro.
Yep. Yes. Damn, Andy, you got to.
And who was his head cook? Yes, high five.
I don't even remember.
Felipe.
Who played him?
You don't remember Felipe?
Nah.
Oh, Felipe.
Did someone really famous play him who's like famous now? Like,
no. I think that's pretty much the only role I've ever seen that guy
right,
in.
Right, me too. Yeah. Felipe was
he
Felipe.
He was a short, like,
Hispanic fellow.
It wasn't Freddie Prinze.
I don't know if he was Hispanic, I always thought he was Italian.
He was vaguely ethnic.
He was absolutely.
He was that too.
He was absolutely
he
Latino.
Could have been like 10 things.
Yeah.
But you're saying no, he's definitely a native Spanish speaker.
Kevin, I thought you would like that song.
It
had laughing in it.
It's not my favorite Monkees song. And it's funny
it's the only one that's got laughing.
Okay.
So was the... Was the band before the show, or was the show before the band?
Show was before the band. Like, the show was happening, and they auditioned people to be in the show.
Correct.
Oh, the Monkees is Mickey...
Dolenz.
Right. He's got a weird big grin to me, right? He's got, like, a round face.
Like a Joker smile. Yeah.
Davy Jones.
Right, right.
Mm-hmm. Mike Nesmith.
Is Davy Jones the most famous one, like the heartthrob one?
Probably.
Yeah.
He's like the David Cassidy one?
I guess
none
so.
None of them were like...
Yeah.
You know, David Cassidy was hot.
Yeah, he was. Yeah, he was. I mean, I just... Between him and Leif Garrett...
Jack Tripper.
Yeah. It's Leif tough Garrett. To choose. Yeah, yeah.
So, there's another song coming to mind that might even be a good closer.
Okay.
Dude, that Funny Farm song, that creep show of a song. You know what I'm talking about?
The movie Funny
Farm?
No.
It's like they're coming to
take me away.
Dude, that song to me is like
creepy.
It's very creepy.
But,
yeah.
Yeah, but in a way.
Let's just play
like
it right now and talk over it. How about that? All right. Huh? That'll be fun.
Mm-hmm.
Continue.
Yeah, there's no that song.
Do you know who the artist is, Ben?
It's just a one-hit wonder, right?
Yeah. I don't know who it is.
No, it's a one-hit wonder. And that song genuinely, I can't think of a song ever like creeping me out. But that one did, I remember.
Super.
I don't remember a song ever.
It's weird because it's got this weird ticking noise.
It's a ticking
whatever.
And then it just starts going, like it starts like ramping up and the pitch gets higher and higher and higher.
You know,
it's like actually like.
You know, and his voice gets kind of, you laughed, I heard you, you know, and he's.
That and a band called Nurse with Wound creeped me out.
Oh, nice. Last episode I mentioned Nurse with Wound.
Weird. So, wow.
Okay, what is that Roman numeral?
Describe it.
I can't see it. XIV 14?
14.
Napoleon the 14th is the artist. So, I know this because I was that nerdy kid that listened to Dr. Demento at night.
Yeah. I used to listen to Dr. Demento.
Yeah. Well, that makes sense because that was your era. But no, I'm kidding. But
I saw Wolfman Jack at St. Charles Town Center.
That I want to get back to. But Dr. Demento was still played on the radio late at night. Well into the 80s.
I think I listened to it on WPFW.
Is Demento the thing that he played weird stuff?
Yeah. This whole thing.
Not PFW, HFS.
Could be. I don't know what station
I think
it was.
WHFS.
Was that 99.1?
It was indeed.
But I do remember being, you know, a young fella, and I think my oldest brother Mike told me about Dr. Demento and probably where to listen to it. And I remember listening to it like, well, probably like 10 o'clock or something like that. And he would play, Dr. Demento was, that's what he was known for, was playing just weird fucking shit like this.
Right, they'd always play The Streak.
Is this where you go to for your, like, Weird Al fix?
Yeah, he broke Weird Al. Actually, if you listen to any interviews with Weird Al, he'll tell you that that's how he got famous, is that he was a fan of Dr. Demento, and he sent his demo tapes into him, and that's how he got famous. Like, he would play him.
By the way, on another note,
Kevin, you do remember that song, The Streak.
Yeah, by Ray Stevens.
Yeah, okay.
He's a fucking clown.
Wow.
I mean, it's the same fucking guy that does Grandma Got Run Over by a Reindeer. You're a fan.
You got to remember when that came out, though, also.
What, The Streak or...
Well, both. I mean, he's from, you know, back in Mayberry days and whatnot.
Yeah, Ahab the Arab and shit like that. Yeah.
Oh, I remember that shit. Like, how is this? You know what? A weird thing about this creeps me out is, like, it's because it came out, like, in the 50s. That makes it, like, or not the 50s, but it came out so long ago.
You think so? Let's research this.
Oh, it's got to be, like, early 70s, maybe even 60s.
Right. So, like, if someone did this, like, in our era, it's like we're used to people doing weird shit now. But in my mind, like, back then is, like, wholesome. So the fact that this was created back then creeps me out even more. Does that make any sense? I remember thinking that. I was like, this is old and weird.
It's the beats that just kind of creepy for me. Because it sounds like ticking.
Well, it's not a song, really. It's just, like, him...
Yeah, 1966. Oh, shit. I never thought about
that.
This
song is old, man.
So, I always thought it was just timeless.
It's a little...
Yeah, they played this. They used to play the Monster Mash and, you know, all kinds of stuff like that.
Yeah.
Well, you just wait. They'll find you yet. And when they do...
But, yeah. Dr. Demento. Do you remember Fish Heads?
Yes, roly-poly fish heads, eat them up,
fish
yum.
Fish heads, roly-poly fish heads, eat them up, yum.
Dude, like, imagine, like, so our age and we liked that, kids today would be like, our shit is so much cooler than this bullshit.
Do you think so?
Some stuff is just way better now, like video games. And
I was at work today, I had a customer come in. And it was just one of those weird times where I had a good time talking to a customer, just a nice guy. His name was Shane C.
Mm-hmm.
And it was funny.
You had to look at your phone to see his name?
I actually wrote it down. I had a good conversation. Gotcha. But it was funny. This was an African-American guy, came in, just wanted to get some stuff scanned, and...
So he was white from South Africa?
By the way, I'm a...
I don't get it.
I'm a sonogram technician.
Mm-hmm.
The song Mamas Don't Let Your Babies Grow Up to Be Cowboys happened to be on the radio. And I listen to Sirius XM and it's deep track. So it's usually just like classic rock that
Who
you
sings that again? Willie Nelson or something?
Yeah, Willie Nelson and Waylon Jennings. And so they don't usually play, like, country music. I think they were just... Yeah. And I think they were playing because it's Mother's Day Sunday. Anyway, this guy came in, and he was like, man, I love Willie Nelson. And I was like, yeah, this is a classic song, isn't it? He's like, yeah. And then we just started talking, and he was a very interesting cat. He grew up in Louisville, Kentucky. And his grandmother owned a juke joint called The Sportsman in Louisville. where people would just come through, like B.B. King and just blues guys. Like he said Big Al Thornton. I don't know if that's really a blues guy, but he seemed to think it was.
He's just putting names together.
Yeah, because like Big Mama Thornton. Anyway, it was somebody cool. And how did I get on this subject? yeah. Fuck.
The dude you were talking to, Shane C.
Yeah. How did I get here?
Kevin's having an Andy moment like I did earlier.
I just like when Andy went, black.
Anyway, my point is, he said that he tried to bring his daughter, who's 14 now, up on, like, just stuff that he listened to, because he didn't want her to listen to, like, provocative stuff like Nicki Minaj or, you know, just, you know what I mean.
He plays like Two Live Crew, like stuff that we listen to.
Exactly, when we were, the classics. Yeah, right. No, he was saying that he was a country music fan and would like play her like shit like Willie Nelson and stuff like that. But what that made me think of is that nowadays kids really don't have, like, it's not as segregated musically as it was back in the day. Like, you're a metalhead or you're a hip-hop guy or you're, I don't know, bluegrass fan or something like that. Like, kids today have everything at their fingertips.
Right. Yeah, no, it's definitely all...
just a hodgepodge of just music.
Yeah, it's interesting. I've noticed, you know, certain trends that are bigger. Like, it shows how youth is thinking in a way. Mm. You know, I was talking about this with somebody like Drake. Like, I don't like Drake,
right?
But he's really, like, you could say, representative of that generation, and he, you know, rap, hip hop, even now it's like this, you know, you associate with like bragging and this and money and cars and all that, but he, like, doesn't do that.
Okay.
And that's way more representative of, like, you, like, he just, it's a different thing.
Yeah.
Does that make sense?
This is Kanye. So yeah. I like him.
Right, right. Well, he, but it's like, I'm
she
not
gave
making
me money.
I'm, you know, like, I don't like his music, but I find it interesting, his approach. Okay. Like, he didn't approach.
It's like rap emo with, rap, right?
Yeah, it's just more. It's not even
like he's kind of whining about.
He's just not doing like those tropes. Yeah. He's just like not doing that. You know, it's kind of,
I mean, for me right as now. Far, hip-hop as far is kind of, like, dead anyway, dude.
What's that?
For me right now, hip hop is kind of dead anyway. I don't like any of the new
dude,
rap that's out right now.
I love,
well,
dude,
out to you, maybe.
We should have done
like, you don't like trap music, is
dude.
What you're,
we should have done trap and mumble rap for like, yeah, an hour of this episode of,
absolutely,
laughing, because that shit makes me,
what,
laugh.
What we were hanging out the last time we hung out, what was the, what is that famous YouTube clip of the guy like at the radio station trying to freestyle? Who is that?
Oh, that was Smoke Perp.
Smoke Perp.
So there's one guy, Young Thug. He's,
yes,
like the king of it. Like, he's, you know, got like, he's probably got a million views on him. Like,
yeah.
And, you know, I'll be balling.
Yes.
I'm balling like Spalding. And that's his best line.
Right.
But Smoke Perp takes it to another level. In Smoke Perp's defense,
yeah,
it's probably edited to make him even look, like, if he's at a 9 of horribleness,
uh-huh,
it's like edited to make him look like a 10 of being horrible. Like, it's just like, hey.
Yeah.
I mean, it's,
what was the one where the guy was getting, like, mad at the DJ?
I don't know.
Mm. Anyway.
For what, though? Like, mad? Why?
Like, it looked like the DJ, it was, like, in the UK or something like that, and the DJ was kind of,
oh,
like,
rup.
Yes.
Skibbidibbidup-dup-dup.
What was that one?
I forgot that dude's name, but his whole thing is he's doing that, like, British super grimy,
yeah,
shit, and he's just like, you know about this, Andy?
No, but it sounds
like,
interesting.
Man say hey. Man say you smell. Antiperspirant. Shoot you. Pop, 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 pop. Skip it up, dub, 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 dub. And the DJ is like really like deadpan clowning him. It's kind of like passive aggressive, but it's funny. Wow. He's like, how could the man, like, what is he like man kill him, but man has no antiperspirant. And dude, he's still in his character. So he's still like trying to be
like,
don't you clown, man.
Like, yeah, like one of his lines is like, don't sweat.
Yeah, don't sweat. Antiperspirant or something like he's just like, but at some point it just evolves into like he's basically scatting gunshot sounds.
Whoa.
Men say boom. Clack, 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 boom. Step, up, 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 prr, skr. So it's like kind of like Little John Skeet, but British grime shooting twist.
That's hilarious.
Yeah.
I'll have to try to find that.
But when I see a lot of like, what's his name? Lil Pump, everyone little.
Lil Pump.
Lil Yachty. I call him Lil Boat.
Yeah, everyone's using that.
Anyone little, it's like, dude, we would have like, it's like a thing now. It's not even like liked ironically. It's like people like this shit. Like we would have, I mean, it would just have been immediate laughter. Like you'd be like the clown of the fucking week.
Yeah.
But it's not only like, it's not even ironic is the thing. The way people wear fucking mullets. It's like, oh, look who's here. It's like people are like, I love, like they'll just, they will play it in their car by themselves.
Yeah.
And be like, I'm into this. This is what I like.
Yeah.
My bitch do a lot of cocaine. How about the hunting?
That's kind of fucking hot. Did you just come up with that?
This guy, Tyler, the Creator. Have you heard of him?
I mean, yeah. I think, I don't like him.
I do. I like him.
I have yet to listen to his music. Now, he was on.
He's a pretty ugly
the
dude.
Brothers too, version of Jackass.
Makes me not want to watch him.
Yes, yes. What was that show called?
It was called Loiter Squad.
Yeah, yeah.
Have you ever seen that?
That sounds like a bad parody of Loiter Squad.
Well, that's what it's called. It was on Adult Swim.
Uh-huh. It was like Jackass.
I said the Brothers version.
Blackass.
I'm sorry.
They should have called it Blackass. That's way better.
I bet they tried to, and the censors were like.
Yeah, I could see them trying to do that. Yeah,
and the white censors were like, this is too offensive.
The show is just like Jackass, but it's all blacks.
Mm-hmm.
And it's actually pretty good.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. But one of the main guys that was, you know, one of the main characters on there was this guy, Tyler, the Creator.
Mm. Okay.
And now, you know, he's dating Will Smith's son.
That's kind of a rumor.
What?
No, I saw them kiss.
Yeah, they're doing a shtick.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Okay.
It's a shtick. It's like all we're all right. They're playing with their pan fluidity or whatever you want to call it.
Sure.
Their version of Prince wearing like a little thong and a coat and singing about pussy. But he's gay and what?
Right.
Do you remember that song Sister he did?
No.
It's a 2-minute song about controversy or something like a
controversy.
Bam. Okay. Yeah. Okay. Yeah. 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 I remember it now. Yeah.
Dude, it's like so. You know, I'm sure you know. He became a Jehovah.
Yeah.
But he would knock on people's doors. Like you might open your door in Minneapolis and Prince is there.
Awesome.
Yeah.
In like a white shirt and black pants.
The whole thing.
Yeah.
And you're like, you wrote a song about fucking your sister, so I don't want to hear it.
I mean, and then he's got the song Controversy himself. I mean, that album right there.
I don't
there,
curse
man,
anymore.
You're
Yeah. Yeah.
Fantastic.
And then he's got the, what was the one, and this had the baddest bass line ever that he's done.
Let's Work?
No. Boom, boom, boom. Boom, boom, boom. If we cannot make believe, maybe we can.
That's
make
Erotic
time.
City.
Yeah.
That's it.
Mm-hmm.
That's got the baddest bass line he's ever done, dude.
Mm-hmm.
So simple to play, but it's just the effect of what it does is just, it's all.
Yeah, that was like one of those B-sides or something. I remember that.
Oh, here's my wife. She was just taping a special across the hall.
It's a Mariana Lanham.
Hi, baby.
Hi.
We're just about to wrap it up.
All right. Sounds great.
Did you cook any dinner?
Is that a Bill Cosby sweater that you're wearing?
I cooked paella for myself at Sweet Bay in Leonardtown, Maryland.
Holy mackerel.
It was a
Mariana has a Bill Cosby sweater on, folks.
Cook. I'm very disappointed that you don't know how to feed yourself.
All right.
We made hot dogs last time.
Yeah, and we might do it again. Anyway, thank you very much for listening to the Basement Shuffle.
Smile.
And we're going to go out with a band you may not have heard of. It sounds like they're very high when they're singing this.
They're definitely high.
They're called Cypress Hill.
And here we go.
You tell me that you've got everything you want, and your bird can sing, but you don't get me. You don't get me. You've seen seven wonders, and your bird is green, but you don't see me. You don't see me.
When your prize possessions start to weigh you down, look in my direction, I'll be round, I'll be round. You tell me that you've heard every sound there is, and your bird can swing, but you can't.